You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The Law of Attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome. Thank you.
We want to start off by talking about everything that you know, everything you've learned in the past, and everything you know now, and how the two realities are blending in your reality to cause you to come to a new awareness of who you are, how this universe works, what your place in the universe is, why you came forth, and what you're doing right now, where you are right now, what you're feeling right now, and how you're integrating everything you've learned so far into the fabric of your life beyond the limitations of the old beliefs. The old beliefs are somewhat limiting, somewhat beneficial, a mix of the two, yet they are not the reality. The reality is the true organization of this planet, of this universe, of this system of physical reality, and of you as a being of source, fully allowing the source to come through you so that you can do anything that you're inspired to do, knowing that your pre-birth intentions led you along a path so that you could come here now, now in this perfect time, this perfect day, how everything is lining up for you right now. Everything is moving along perfectly with ease and grace and clarity. You will see that. When you start to feel a little bit of tension or a little bit of something's wrong, something's not working out like it should be, that's all based on your old belief system. The old belief system that was limiting you from day 512 until now, you see. And as you work through those limiting beliefs to realize that you are a limitless being that's perceiving some limitations that do not really exist, you can manage those beliefs, you can manage your emotions, you can manage your way into feeling good, into having ease, into enjoying your life, into enjoying everything you're doing, into a sense of fun and joy and satisfaction with the full confidence and knowing that you are a powerful creator of your reality. The full confidence in knowing that what you're inspired to do is divine inspiration. It's coming from source through you. You are creating as you are acting upon the inspiration that you're receiving. So you're either receiving inspiration, and when you do, fear will pop up, or you are buying into an old belief system that does not serve you. It does not serve the greater good of all. It is not bad or wrong. It is simply limiting. We ask you to think consciously about these limiting ideas that have no bearing on your reality. With that, we would like to go wherever you want to take us.
So when I wrote my first book, it was very planned, very programmed, very systematic. I would wake up, I would write a certain amount, a certain time of the day. I did allow like a certain kind of energy momentum to take place and take charge. And like now I'm finding that I don't have that amount of control over true inspiration. Like I can't like set aside and program a certain amount of time each day at that hour of the day and dedicate that to my inspiration because it comes sometimes in the most inopportune times, like in the middle of a conversation, or like yesterday when it happened, I shared it with you, with Gary. But it happened like I just got like this little sentence at the end of a nap. I was feeling inspired, like instead of, you know, I'm just going to allow myself to nap today. And like I woke up at the end of the nap. And like right at the very, very like tip of the nap, you know, was like four principles of, you know, parenting to radically transform your relationship with you. I mean, it was just there, like right on the edge as I was waking up from my nap. And I'm like, huh, I'm going to just take that as a start and I'm going to write it down. And that's all I did was write that down. I put it on a little post-it note, but then I found that I could take my post-it notes and like arrange them and organize them along those lines. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to run with this and see. And like I started and like this whole, and I've tried starting before. And literally I've tried started writing before. And it's just like the words that would come out would be like, you can't force us. Like you can't force this. You can't like control this and make this happen. Let it go. Like that's what was coming out. So I could like nothing. Right. Then all of a sudden yesterday it was like, whoosh, you know, so fast and so much that I struggled with the typing to get it all out as it was just pouring through me. Sounds an awful lot like Joshua though, when it comes through. I think I'm absorbing Joshua so much so that I wrote a poem a la Joshua the other day, in addition to that mess that, you know, came out. And then, you know, I tried again today. It's like, you know what? I don't feel well. I'm tired. I'm going to take it easy. And if something comes, something will come.
So you have a belief system about how things are created through hard work, dedication, struggle, effort, and then perfection. Because you attach what you create to your persona. And you say, this is a reflection of who I am. And therefore, if I'm to be seen as good and worthy, it must be perfect. Therefore, it has to come out in a certain way. And that's all based in fear and control. And so as you're receiving these downloads, as you're receiving the inspiration, you are trying to coerce it to make it something it isn't necessarily needed to be in the moment that it's coming down. And this is just old programming, you see, because you are saying, I am an academic. I have a degree. This is how things are done. This is how things are written. It has to have a certain structure to it. It has to have proper sentence structure. It has to have punctuation and all this stuff. But none of that matters when you're interpreting the stream of consciousness, because you can always go back and clean it up. You can always go back and edit. You can always do that. But when you judge it as it's coming out, you bring in fear into that process. And so we say, you can't control anything. You don't need to control anything. Control is always a part of fear, and it's all based on the old approach to life. So there is no need to control any of it in the new approach to life. You don't need to control the timing of it. You don't need to control the speed in which it comes to you. You don't need to control the content whatsoever. You don't need to plan the ending. You don't need to plan the beginning. You don't need to do any of that. You don't need to plan the table of contents. You don't need to do an outline. You don't need to have a timeline for when it's completed. And you don't need to have an attachment to any outcome, you see. So it's simply this free flow of information where all you're doing is dictating what's coming to you. It's as if the book has already been written by master scholars, so many of which you can't even begin to count, who have all come together in unison, not in a way that you can imagine from an individual human perspective where you would say, okay, there's so many people in a room and they're all listening to each other talk and they're all throwing out ideas and they're all putting it into a structure and they're all creating them. You see, in the non-physical, it's just blended. It's all happening simultaneously in the moment. It's all coming together. There is no need to discuss it or to say, you're right, you're wrong, you're right, you're wrong, or that's a good idea, that's a bad idea, because none of that happens in the non-physical. In the non-physical, it's all perfect agreement and alignment, you see. So now when we suggest to Gary that if you were to visualize what Joshua is, you might see a group of people around a conference room all discussing ideas. And then we say, well, bring that out a little further. It might be a theater. And bring that out a little further, and it might be an arena. And bring that out a little further, and a whole stadium, a football stadium, is filled with entities contributing to the idea and the format and the way it's presented, so that the entire 100,000 entities in this stadium are all able to add their two cents at the time of creation, and then bring that further out to every football stadium in the entire world, and then bring that out to every football stadium on any habitable planet in the universe. That is what you're talking about here. All inputting and organizing at the same time. It's all happening in the moment in perfect agreement. So that the finished product, when it comes out, is perfection. This is perfection. And when you add your fear to it, you take away from that perfection, you see. When you allow yourself to freely flow, you allow the perfection to come forth through you. Now, you can't see the perfection as you're allowing it to flow. You cannot see it because your perspective is limited. When Gary looked at the boot camp, he did not see the perfection of it. He's only now starting to realize the perfection of the boot camp as it's coming through. And he's seeing it more and more and more and more and more, and realizing none of it needs to be changed in any way. That the questions he had about it in the past, he no longer has. He sees it as perfect. He doesn't see it as his product. He sees it as he, at the time he was channeling it, allowing the perfection to flow, and then having faith that it was perfect, and then now realizing it is perfect as it goes along. And realizing it more and more and more. And while that may sound arrogant from the perspective of a human, the perfection doesn't mean anything. It just is what it is for the time and for the people who will find it, you see. And so if there's a flaw from your perspective in anything you write, the flaw is part of the perfection that you cannot see, you see. It enables possibly the reader to catch a flaw or not catch a flaw, or to bring it back to you as a manifestation event that you'll need to overcome as you go forward. And so you might, as Gary did, release the boot camp in its original form, and then as people were going through it, they noticed things, and they could bring those to light. And then that could be enhanced, enhanced, enhanced. But the original creation was perfect for that time, and that creation evolves into an expanded version of itself, just like you, perfect all the time. So there is no possibility of imperfection. Now, getting to the subject of being inspired, not being inspired, being ready for downloads, not being ready for downloads, letting it flow, not letting it flow. This is also an idea of control. And in allowing yourself to create a time and a space where you will just maybe meditate first and then have a quiet time and then come to your computer and then wait for the first sentence to come and then type that first sentence and then wait for the next sentence to come and type that next sentence and just keep going for the amount of time that you've allowed. And it might be 15 minutes, it might be half an hour, it might be an hour, whatever is fun for you. It must be fun. You must rise to that vibration of fun and joy and excitement and entertainment and have a sense of pleasure in what you're doing. But when you have an attachment to the outcome or to the material that's coming through you or any judgment of any of those things, you are now enacting a form of control over it. And that is simply based in fear. And that is like putting a stick in the spokes of a bicycle wheel. You see?
Yeah.
It is jamming up the gears in that. So you can create a space and you can be consistent. And as you do, you will build momentum as you practice this. You go in, you spend a bit of time. What do we feel like today? Let's just go in. Oh, it's been half an hour. That's enough for today. We'll revisit this tomorrow. And then you can have some sort of consistency if that works for you. And this is what Gary did in the very beginning. He was there every day, every day, every day, didn't miss a day, every single day for the first two books. And then the next books, he skipped days here and there, skipped days. He came when he was inspired, whatever. But he had no doubt that when he went back to it, he'd be able to revisit where he was by editing or correcting typos on the previous day's work. And then once he's done all that, then he was in the state where he allowed to flow just by typing the first sentence.
Right.
Excellent. And as you get to do this more and more and more, and as you get comfortable with it, it'll flow easier and easier and easier when you can do it at any time. You could, when Gary started, he meditated every single day first. He couldn't talk to anyone else. He couldn't bring in his phone. He couldn't listen to music. He had to have the doors closed. He could not be interrupted. And after a year or so, he could answer a phone call. He could listen to music. People could watch him while he does it. People could interrupt him. It didn't matter. He could have someone knock at the door, interact with that person, and go right back to it at the exact word that he left off at.
Wow.
This is what it is. This isn't special. This is just how it works as you get good at summoning the flow.
Okay. All right. Challenge accepted.
Excellent.
Play accepted. Game on.
It's all a practice of managing that need for the outcome to be what you think it is. Okay. Imagine an outcome far beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Imagine an outcome far beyond anything I could ever imagine.
Far beyond anything you could ever imagine. Imagine that the aunt is walking around in the mansion, and the aunt can't perceive that the aunt's in the mansion. And that as the aunt expands through experiences, the aunt will understand what the mansion is. Now, the aunt isn't more or less excited by walking on the floor as an aunt or being the being that experiences the mansion fully. It's just a matter of expansion to a new level of awareness. The expansion to the new level of awareness is the joy, not the realization of the mansion, you see. The mansion will never mean anything about the ant or any expanded version of that being. So let's imagine that an ant is walking around and the ant is able to receive a new perspective based on an experience, and the ant then transforms into a mouse. And then the mouse walks around a little bit faster, perceives a little bit more of the mansion, and then the mouse transforms into a cat. And the cat walks around and the cat transforms into a baby. And the baby experiences it, then the baby grows, and the baby transforms into adult, and the adult experiences the mansion. But the mansion doesn't mean anything to the adult, just like it didn't mean anything to the ant. It's simply the surroundings with more clarity, but it doesn't mean that the being is affected by the mansion. Now, imagine that you write a book, and as you're writing it, you say, from your limited perspective of the one who exists before writing the book, that, oh, this is going to lead to wealth. This is going to lead to success. This is going to lead to admiration. This is going to lead to all the things I've ever wanted, you see.
I've had that experience.
But that, while you can laugh at that experience now, and we will say that that is a high vibrational perspective that you have, there is still some limiting beliefs in there that this will solve anything.
Okay.
You see? So the and there's an attachment also to not want to waste time.
Yes.
To not want to do something that isn't as productive as something else, you see.
Right.
So that's the little fear that comes in. Oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. I should be generating income. I should be doing something that causes me to get some money in here, you see, or take care of this or take care of that or do this thing on my to-do list. And we say, this is why if you could take out one little space of time in your day to practice the reception of divine inspiration. Then we can come to you anytime. Then you could do it at 4 o'clock. You could do it at 10 o'clock. You could do it 3 in the morning. You can do it at any time. Anytime at will.
Okay. Game on.
Excellent.
Sounds fun. Sounds exciting. I'm like, on another note, I'm like kind of surprised. I've been making a ritual. I've been really, really dedicating my time to my practice of processing my manifestation events, you know, filling out all my pages, then doing it steadily this entire boot camp. And I can tell when my coachees are not, because they'll like do like a bunch of, you know, triggered stuff. And then, you know, it's just like stuff that will be processed when they do the work. And sometimes I just have to back off and let them happen. Yes. But I've noticed that I've been amazingly untriggered lately, even with a call from my banker talking about the dire circumstances. And I'm like, you know, and I'm informing him, well, you know, wait, you know, if everybody's lost money, it's all relative. Because then prices will go down and everything's going to have, like, he couldn't understand the concept of the relativity of any of this. Sorry, urgent parent phone call. he's just like, you know, well, relatively, you know, your father invested very conservatively, you know, so relatively, but he wasn't getting the whole relativity picture of, well, if everybody's lost money, then values of certain things will go down and they're going to have like the same amount of affordability, no matter how much money I lose.
Exactly.
And my retirement looks like we're all in the same fucking boat. So like, then the value of things go down. So why, you know, like I was, based on his dire picture, I was unimpressed with his sadness, his like, you know, need to console us or whatever. And it was just like so unimpressed with that. I didn't share this conversation with my dad. I didn't share it with anybody. I'm like, this is just
It's based in an irrational fear, the irrational fear of loss. Because those who are experiencing what they may perceive as loss aren't aware of what's waiting for them on the other side of the loss.
Right.
If you are eking out an existence in order to pay for a new car, a little bit bigger house, dinners at restaurants, vacations once a year, a expensive education for your children, and you have to slave away to maintain those things, well, you're existing in a prison of your own creation.
Right.
And what they're afraid of is losing the prison bars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when those things are lost, they'll be set free.
Yeah.
And so many humans are being set free now because their self-imposed limitations no longer apply. Now, they may apply from their perspective and they may be worried about it, but truly they do not apply. There are no restaurants to go to. There are no colleges to go to. There is no education to do. There are no vacations to be had. There is no work to be done in the same way it was before. It's a new paradigm, shifting to a sense of freedom. And once people get a taste of the absence of those limitations, well, then they get into a place where they're receptive to ideas formulated around what they're truly desire, because their pre-birth intentions are very strong. But their self-created limitations were also equally strong. And so they were building this conflict, this inner conflict between those pre-birth intentions to become who they truly are and the approach to life that was formed in creating prison cells and prison walls and iron bars. When those prison walls and iron bars are removed temporarily, then suddenly they can see things from a brand new perspective. And suddenly they may have more time, more awareness to move into what is more appealing to them. And realizing that those things that they thought propped up their versions of worthiness no longer do so. Because all the status that was involved in your culture is quickly disappearing. And this equality is being generated. And then there is a structure in place that says that in this time of crisis, those beings who have lived on this planet longer are the ones in most resistance and are the ones who are mostly affected by the virus. And those beings who are new, the younger ones, are not affected by this worldwide event.
No. Nope.
Except for the fears of the older ones.
Yes.
You see? And the younger ones are not going to buy into this very long. They are going to see through the illusion of this. Why would we do this when there is no effect, when there is no negative effect? Why are we buying into this belief system that you say we need to buy into, and clearly it is not beneficial in any terms? Clearly you are not succeeding by this belief system. And so the younger ones coming up will now start to move the conversation in a new direction.
Yeah, and I've been telling all of them this. And they agree with me. And I've been telling them to inform their parents that they are fear-based and triggered and acting out of control.
But from the parents' perspective, it's real.
Right.
Yet, what does the fear ask them to do? The fear will always ask them to preserve themselves. Mm-hmm. To protect themselves at the cost of the freedom of others. And so they will make rules not designed to promote well-being in the population, but to stifle any interaction that may come back to affect them. And so they will tell the children, you cannot go to school. Because why? Not because they might get the infection and suffer some harm, because statistically they realize that's highly improbable, more likely to be in a car accident on the way to school than to contract something that's going to do them physical harm. What they're worried about is bringing that back to them. Do you see? Mm-hmm. So they're making rules to preserve themselves without letting the children flourish. And as the children realize that all the rules are made to imprison them into a system that does not work, it isn't based in love, it's based in pure fear, they're going to say, what is this system all about? Why are we buying into the system?
Right.
And they will think about things differently. Mm-hmm. Now, they have also not had a lot of experience. Right? They haven't had a lot of experience with rebelling against the establishment.
Not yet.
And they may not need to.
I'm going to say they are the new establishment.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, the rebellious idea is based in fear. The progressive idea would be based in love. Mm-hmm. So how will they move through an understanding that the institutions and the rules enacted by the older ones do not serve them, how will they live in response to that? In love and not fear. Now, if they fear that the establishment is oppressing them, they will receive urges to change conditions. And this will cause conflict and more fear and more control. If they can understand that the older ones are simply living in fear, and they can accept that fear, but not buy into it themselves. Right. Opt out of the fear personally, not yeah. need to change them, but to evolve in love and just simply detach from that system and say, I am no longer part of the system. I am no longer judged by you, who does not know as much as me. I am no longer succumbing to your wishes based in fear. I am no longer moving along life in a program that clearly never worked for you. I am going to chart my new course of exploration based on what I am interested in. So can you see the revolution that will be happening where they succumbed to the limiting beliefs of the older ones in order to gain a sense of security? And now that sense of security of all the effort and struggle that the older ones had done throughout their lives means absolutely nothing and never, ever worked. And here we have absolute proof that it never worked. The older ones bought into a system that they believe from their perspective gave them some security. You have a job, you have a family, you have a career, you have a marriage, you have an education, you have a retirement, you have a savings, you have an investment, you have a government, you have all these institutions that are set up to give you some sense of security. And so the savings are gone. The job is gone. The government can't help. The government is not telling the truth. The systems do not work, you see. The sense of security that you perceive that you would have as you move along in this old system is erased in one fell swoop. In 2 weeks, it's all gone. And the children are creating beliefs based on the observation that these systems did nothing to serve anyone, because they were built in fear and control. And so they will say, older ones, you can hang on to your limitations if you like. We are charting a new course. We are only going to care about what we're interested in today, because we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the security that you thought that we would have does not work. Therefore, we're not going to trade our life for a security that does not work.
And I think that the ones that I'm talking to are really, I kind of sense that happening. I think that that's going to be a natural outcome with or without Michelle coaching them.
Are you coaching them, or are you coaching the community, the family, because in order to allow the children to move gracefully through this,
based on all the texts that are coming in right now as we're talking, I'm coaching the family. I mean, it's, yeah, the community. It's, yeah.
What does the parent truly want? The parent truly wants for the child to go along their journey of self-discovery in any way they desire. What they want is the clarity to see that the child is sifting and sorting and figuring it out on their own, that they have a higher vibration, that they have all the tools that they need. What the parent is worried about or concerned about is how they feel as they observe the child going through. And they can't manage those feelings.
Right.
So they want to control the child.
Yeah.
Set up these institutions to control the child. If the child cannot be controlled, then what does the parent have left? The parent is simply going to suffer in these negative emotions and devalue the relationship instead of appreciate the relationship.
Right. I've had more breakthroughs this week when doing family interventions and saying, you know what? Grades don't matter. A missed assignment does not matter. What really matters is your relationship with your child. And like, bam, it's like instant breakthrough. All of a sudden, the whole missed assignment is forgotten. I see the arm go around the child. I see little tears start to fall and just like hugs happen. And, you know, it's like, but it's only in these circumstances. Because I could have told them this last year, right? And it would not have hit as strongly, but only in these, you know, I don't know. I'm going to say that these circumstances are lending themselves to the clarity, a vision of what's really important.
Yes, exactly. Because the parents are realizing now too, as they're moving from the older approach to life and the pursuit of what they perceived as success, status, and the American dream to what is essential. And what is essential for all humans is their alignment, feeling good, their feelings, number one thing, then their health, their body, the vitality of the body, and then the relationships, and then their interests and passions. And we're not wanting to place a hierarchy of these things. They are blended. This is a blended, the body in concert with the relationships, in concert with the passions in concert with the body, the passions in concert with relationships, all working together to support each other. Three pillars of a strong foundation, of a strong stool, rather than the one pillar of trying to promote worthiness and escape negative emotion.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, just this whole evasion of negative emotion for your child, when in fact that's the best thing that they could be processing at this moment and learning to experience and cope with, which I felt very emboldened, very empowered to do that Facebook post the other day.
But remember, they are never, ever, ever doing anything for the child in those actions. They are only trying to protect themselves from possible future negative emotion. What will it look like if my child doesn't get an A? What will it reflect about me? How will I feel if that child fails? If that child doesn't become doctor, lawyer, accountant, blah, 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 that I see fit, how will I feel? What will neighbors say? What will friends say? What will my parents say? What will my mate say? What will happen to me if my child doesn't succeed? And what happens if the child does succeed? What happens if the child gives it all up and follows along their path of self-discovery and discovers talents and attributes they did not know they had and starts to live this magnificent, grand life full of manifestation events, full of big things happening, full of success, not monetarily necessarily, but success in this rich journey, rich exploration, and comes to a place of true power, existing in confidence and love that they can do anything they want to do. And then when they do it, what will the parent think of them then? Some will think, great. Some will think, is this going to last? What will happen now? Some will always, always, always be in fear. Some will be jealous, you see. The parent does not know what they truly want. They have no idea. They have not thought about this. The parent is the child. The parent is reactionary, you see. Not just in this attachment to the outcome of the child, but in everything. Their career, their relationship with their mate, their relationship with their parents, their relationship with society, their relationship with their friends, their relationship with their peers, their relationship with their bosses, their relationships with their employees. Their whole entire life is built on this lie of trying to prove worthiness and try to eke out some security. Those who are financially more wealthy are more in the lie and more in the illusion of control. And they will have more resistance to letting go of control.
Well, I think, like, generationally speaking, because I'm the same age as the parents, if not just a tiny bit older, that we were able to earn success through proper choices, proper planning, proper goal setting. Like that, you know, in the past, I think goals was the language of success, of future, but it doesn't apply anymore. That those rules have shifted. They have changed, whether it be like circumstances or a new mindset evolving, a new brain evolving even, you know, which is the ADHD and the Asperger's, it's the evolution of the new human.
Exactly.
Our language and our tools do not, I could structure a child from here to eternity, right? That's not there. Like, whereas that would have worked in, you know, even 20 years ago, it's not going to play out the same now.
Yes, exactly.
And the best I could do is.
Now, when you say that structure would work What would it accomplish?
Well, it would accomplish what is coming crashing down now, which is these external illusions of success, which is, you know, the job that you have to maintain to, you know, to be able to get your nails done, to keep up with your status in society and all this other stuff, to send your kids to the right school, to, you know, get the house in the right place and, you know, to do everything right. And then we're finding now that those all come crumbling down because they were all illusory.
Exactly. Exactly. And so when you can show people a different perspective and that this virus is showing them and this quarantine time is showing them a new perspective, then you can, they have, you must understand that they have elevated, they have expanded through all these experiences of the days and weeks that have led to this day right now, and they will continue to expand. So there will be opportunities for perspective shifts that were not available, as you said, prior to this. So it is time to take advantage of these opportunities, time to insert yourself, time to lead them to a new realization. Through a change of perspective, not through anything else, but simply through a change of perspective.
I had a poem come to me the other day, and it's just purely Joshua. It's just like it's like Joshua books, like refunneled what came to me through a poem, if I could find it. And it kind of resonates with what you just said, what was just said. Oh, well, I'll share it later. If you want.
Yes.
If Gary wants.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled.
Along with all the other mumbo jumbo that comes pouring through me that I'll just filter now and correct the punctuation spelling.
It's divine perfection coming through you.
Yeah.
Mumbo jumbo is a judgment. Divine perfection coming through you as perfectly as you allow it to come. And as you get more comfortable with the divine perfection coming through you, as you are able to separate yourself from it, you are not your thoughts, you are not your body, you are a stream of consciousness, you are perceiving reality very intensely, you are firmly planted in reality, you have a language or two that you use to express yourself, you see things from your own perspective, and the download coming through you, the source information, the source code coming to you is filtered through your perspective. Yet it couldn't come through you if you were not perfectly matched to it, a perfect vibrational match to it, you see. And so we'll say that 5 years ago, your vibration was here. And you steadily increase your vibration. So now that you're able to see and believe information coming through you from a much higher perspective. And so the information that's coming to you is at a very, very high vibration. And you've come up to become vibrational vicinity to it to receive it. But there is a little disconnect, a little wobble in there. And as you work through that, you see, it will gradually shift where you are perfectly matched to it. And there is no difference between how you recognize it coming through you and how it comes through you. It comes through perfectly. Now, those words that come through you are not in English. Those are thoughts. And you are receiving the thoughts, translating the words so quickly. Receiving the thoughts and even the specific words, you see, that you choose perfectly, perfectly. You don't need to be any more than you are now. And as time goes by, you will raise your vibration as you go through some manifestation events, you process some limiting beliefs, you start to see this from a higher perspective, you start to realize that you're worthy of it all, you start to see your own worth. Not that the download and the ability to perceive the download and to translate it means you're anything superior to any other version of you or anyone else, you see. It's just that you became a vibrational match to it. That's all it is. And anyone who became a vibrational match to it would receive the exact same download. Exactly. It doesn't make you special. It just means that you have allowed enough inspiration to come forward to take you on a fabulous journey to get here. And now you're going to go to higher and higher and different levels. And it will never mean anything about you. Right. And so when you can take your, we'll say the word ego out of it, and the ego is simply a protection for the persona. And so if you make your persona more and more malleable, you see, you've always been working hard to create this persona that never ever served you. It was always limiting. It was your prison bars, your persona. And because your persona was so rigid, because it was so important to you to create this persona, your ego had to be equally fierce and would always try and protect that persona from any perceived attack. Always protect the persona, always protect the persona. And since you are one not to fight back, you are one to internalize, you receive very intense negative emotion when this persona is being attacked because you work so hard to create it. And you were so invested in this persona, thinking it would solve all your problems. Now we want you to dismantle that persona. The persona is the ant in the mansion. And who you are is the God being that is the mansion. The ant can't perceive the God being that is the mansion. The human can't perceive the God being that is the mansion. The mansion is formed around the human who is a vibrational match to this idea. Yet it's still limited because it's three-dimensional. Uh-huh. It doesn't see that the walls are energy being formed instantaneously in every moment. That the human is creating the mansion newly every moment, every moment, every moment. Vibrating, vibrating, vibrating with the mansion and the sea and the ocean and the yachts and all these things, you see.
Right.
Now, you don't necessarily want to vibrate with the mansion in this. You want to vibrate with just a sense of love. And you could take it a little further. And we don't suggest this to many people. But you could take it, for your perspective, this would be helpful, is you could take it to the level of a mission of service, a divine mission of service, which implies that you step back as Michelle and that your mission is to serve, that the service, not that anyone needs the service, it's just the promotion of an idea of love in service to all that is. Not to the individuals that you see coming through you and you're trying to help them change their lives and be more happy and reprioritize their life. It's this service that is going to move the entire consciousness of the planet from fear to love. Now, imagine as the consciousness of fear progresses through technology. And the creations are based in more and more and more fear and control. There will come a point of complete collapse and chaos where everything must be destroyed, completely destroyed, and started over. Mm-hmm. This would be the evolution of fear. So as fear goes along, protects itself, self-involves, self-protection, it'll come to, let's just say, a nuclear war, destroy the entire population. Or there is a momentum of love that is going along the surface with the momentum of fear. And so as things are created in fear, things are also created in love. Yet the things created in love are much, much, much more powerful. But what has to be bridged is a belief system. the belief system of the masses is holding them in prison in this collision course to extinction. And as those belief systems are destroyed or are altered from fear to love, through millions and millions of light workers like yourself, spiritual guides, spiritual teachers in the physical and the non-physical at the same time, then a beautiful transition occurs. A soft, easy, love-based transition occurs to a new reality that's based in love.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. Okay, I was afraid to share this. Now I have to share it. Okay, so I did find the poem. I was just afraid to share it. Okay. What were those intentions your soul set for this lifetime? Expansion, love, joy, acceptance? They are all here. We need to notice them. We are beings of sharing. We are source. If it's here, we brought it here. What if we intended to expand through it all? If every single moment were present for us, how would we grow? Could we become an even bigger expression of love and light? How? How is this happening for us? Can we allow the dissolution of all that we previously knew flow into even better manifestations? Can we see our own inherent worth beyond the present conditions? Can we observe from our highest possible perspective the true love outcome we came here for? Very few will be able to. Those who do are the leaders and shapers of new reality, which is exactly what we just... I channeled that yesterday, but I didn't know where it came from. But
excellent.
Like I said, I think Joshua, I've had so much exposure that I'm absorbing.
It's absolutely natural for you to receive all of this internally.
Yes.
And this is where you've been led from the beginning. Step by step by step. And the only thing that you'd have to do is get over the limiting belief that it wasn't possible. Now that you know that it's possible, now that you know it's possible, because you've actually done it, you know it's possible. The knowing destroys the limiting belief. Now, doubt may still be present, because once you have a limiting belief, it's with you in some form. But the doubt can always be pushed past. The doubt can always be dealt with. The doubt can always be analyzed. And the doubt can always be processed. So it's an ongoing journey of processing the doubt and limiting beliefs and fear to evolve to higher and higher expressions of who you truly are and who you were before you came here and what you intended prior to your birth. And this is all flowing perfectly. Everything is working out perfectly. You're exactly where you are. You are moving so rapidly that it's going to feel overwhelming at times. You are going to be inundated with new inspiration daily. You are going to live this new life of focusing on what you are inspired to do and giving up anything you think you have to do. And as you practice that, becoming a blended being with the source itself flowing through you in every single moment of your life, always, never without, always within, you will move along a wonderful and spectacular journey of self-discovery, and that life will be pleasurable. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. If you would like to support this show, the best thing you can do is subscribe, especially on iTunes. Also, leave your comments and leave your ratings. And that will help us grow this community of people who are interested in law of attraction and the mechanism of physical reality. It'll be cool to spread the word even further. And you can help out by subscribing, leaving your comments, and rating the show. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.